Hello there, a very warm welcome to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with me, Bruce Millington, and making his Sweet Spot debut, delighted to welcome James Mason, an integral part of the Racing Post golf team. Here's what's coming up on the show today. We'll be looking back on a dramatic weekend in which a star was born. A real talent. We'll be talking all about Joo Hyung Kim, looking back on a dramatic finish to the Ladies Open, and a welcome winner for Steve Palmer. Callum Shinquin got the job done in the kazoo. But also, most excitingly, we've got the countdown to the FedEx playoffs. It starts here with the FedEx St Jude. We've also got a men's and women's tournament taking place in Northern Ireland. So hopefully James can kick off with some winners, beginner's luck. James, what did you think of the golf last week? There's lots to enjoy, wasn't there? This kid is good, isn't he?
He's very good. Joo Hyung Kim, or Tom, as he wants to be known by.
Does he?
Yeah, he said he wants to be known as Tom.
Tom Kim. Or Joo Hyung Tom.
No, Tom Kim, because I kept hearing them on the commentary going, "Oh, Tom Kim's leading." And I was like, "Who's Tom?" But apparently he wants to be known as Tom, and it's because of his love for Thomas the Tank Engine.
I thought it might be Tom Kite or something, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bold
How
call.
Weird.
Bold call to have your name wanting to be after Thomas the Tank Engine. But was fantastic, his performance. Bearing in fact that he quadruple bogeyed his very first hole of the tournament. And then it just shows, I think, if you stay in there and you think there's still time to get back into it, you can. But he also needed to get the win to get himself into those playoffs, which he has done as well. Five-shot victory. It was very simple in the end, but the fact
he went out in 27 on Sunday. I mean, come off it, 27. That's pitch and putt golf, isn't it?
I was watching it, and just birdie after birdie after birdie. Then he rolled in an eagle, and you think no one's going to catch him. Sung Jae-im got close to him, but it was absolutely fantastic from Kim. The youngster, how he is, his first PGA Tour win, and the fact he just steamrolled them. He absolutely steamrolled them, and then just kind of stepped off the gas a little bit on the back nine before making a couple birdies. But absolutely,
so it was nerveless, wasn't it? I mean, it's extraordinary. He calls himself Tom because he likes Thomas the Tank Engine. That's just done my head in. I can't get my head around that.
Is that going to be what you take out of the sweet spot?
Massively, yeah. I mean, what if he'd been into like Rupert the Bear or I mean, there's even madder examples, isn't there? Peppa Pig, goodness me. But I mean, he looks like a kid, doesn't he? He's 20 going on 15, isn't he? He's got all his puppy fat. The point is, he's burst onto the scene this year, hasn't he, James, with a string of good finishes. And then when he needed to convert, he did. He just looks absolutely nerveless. I think this kid, I've seen quotes of 100-1 for the Masters next year. Now, I know we shouldn't get away with, get ahead of ourselves, but he could be the absolute real deal, couldn't he?
He could indeed. He seems to have, that whole package, as they say. But there's been good things said before him as well. Of course, this win now puts him into sort of the picture of the President's Cup, which is next month. I mean, I think you have to probably have him in that team. I think it was Trevor Immelman, I think, first brought Kim up a few months ago, saying basically this kid has got it all, watch him. And he had that good performance at the Open as well when he performed well. So, yeah, he just seems to be taking that confidence. And there's just no fear about him. It's nerveless at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, Steve picked the wrong Kim there, but he picked the right win in the kazoo. Because Callum Shinquin got the job done, 20-1. And it was good to see from the quotes on last week's show that a few of you backed him. So well done if you followed Stephen on Callum Shinquin. And that was another very authoritative display, wasn't it? I mean, two of them went clear. Him and Julian Guerrier, and Guerrier fell away, and Shinquin absolutely he cemented that win very authoritatively, didn't he?
He did. It was the start of that last round when there was just a little gap, and then Guerrier fell away, and Shinquin just looked like he was there at the top. I mean, it's his second DP World Tour win, first since 2020, so it's good form from Shinquin, and he already had good form at Celtic Manor, so the fact that he's managed to sort of rubber stamp that is good. There was a crucial moment, because I actually was on Conor Syme, who finished second, so obviously not rooting against Shinquin in terms of the sweet spot, but I was, fingers crossed. But there was a crucial moment, because he had a six-shot lead going to the last three holes. He then bogeyed 16, Syme birdied it. Syme then stuck it close on the par 3 17th, and Shinquin rolled into the bunker, splashed out about 10 foot. And I thought, if he misses this, Syme puts in his birdie, suddenly six shots is two shots going to the par 5 18th. And then there could have been something about it, but in the end, it looks very comfortable.
Don't try and make out you weren't death riding Shinquin there.
I was thinking,
you betrayed yourself.
Just missed that double bogey, the 17th, put it in the water, go for it on 18. And I says, go for it with your second shot. He didn't.
Oh, well, never mind. And then we had a very late finish. And they almost ran out of light, didn't they, in Scotland? I mean, there's a couple of bits to that tournament, wasn't there, before we look at what was a very dramatic win there, James. I mean, first of all, having it at Muirfield, a club that, you know, has a history of not being particularly inclusive in terms of female members. There was a pathetic crowd. The atmosphere was appalling. And they started the last round absurdly late and, of course, almost came unstuck there because they needed four or five holes to separate it. So I wouldn't say it was a resounding success as a tournament, but if you're Ashley Buahi, you don't mind, do you? Because the South African, I mean, I don't even know what price she was. She wasn't... I had to go so far down the list, I still didn't see her name. And, you know, she was a promising youngster. Joined the tour 15 years ago. That has one top 10 in a female major prior to this. But she held on really well. I mean, she wobbled like mad on the final round. But once she got into the playoff, she sort of almost got her mojo back. And it was a long battle with Inji Chung. But she got it done in the end, isn't it? I'm not sure that... she'll win multiple majors off the back of that. But, you know, she slugged it out.
She did. It wasn't, like you said, the most convincing 5-shot lead going into the last round. And that got whittled away, but not really.
She had that she had that Van der Velde hole, didn't she? Where she was in the bunker. She's come out. She's deliberately chipped it into the deep rough. Bizarrely. Then can't do anything out of that and advances about 20 yards, then gets an absurdly lucky lie. I mean, from where she was, that ball was sitting up almost as if she placed it there herself. And so she managed to kind of get out of it. But yeah, I think it's what you call falling over the line, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, triple bogey she made on the 15th. And then suddenly you thought, well, that's it. She's gone. I mean, Inji Chun's going to get the win. And then the fourth, the four playoff holes. But I watched the very last playoff hole and Inji Chun had put hers to the back of the green in three, so you're thinking, right, all that Buhai's got to do, which is bang in the middle of the fairway, is just knock it anywhere on the green, and it just went right, spark right, into the bunker, right up against it, and I thought, I don't think he's going to do it. What a bunker shot, though. Mm. Under that pressure to perform, and to leave a little tiddler of a two-footer to put in for par, I mean, yeah, fair credit. I mean, she's followed what Gary Player and Ernie Els to win at Muirfield, so I think that's pretty impressive for the South African.
Yes, like I say, though, I wouldn't be backing her to win multiple majors from here, but you never know, it might spark a bit of confidence in her. Okay, then, let's look ahead to this week, and we'll start with the FedEx St. Jude Championship. It's the start of the playoffs, the battle to win about 58 million quid. And, of course, given that, it is a very high-quality tournament. I'll spin through the betting, and then James is going to tell us all about the course, and we'll go through his selections. 10-1 favourite is Rory McIlroy, then Scotty Scheffler 16s, Cameron Smith 18, Justin Thomas 18, Patrick Cantlay 18, Xander Schauffele is 18, John Rahm 20, Fitzpatrick 20, 22 bar. So all the stars are out. Shop around for best prices and best each ways. Tell us all about the course, the format, and indeed what happens from now till the winner getting that monster check.
Yeah, TPC Southwind that are at this week then did stage the FedEx St. Jude Classic from 89 to 2018. That tournament was then dropped. It was then 2019 to 2021. It staged another event. It was the WGC FedEx. So it's, you know, it's had a few little changes. It's never actually hosted this tournament, though. This isn't a continuation of the event, which was previously known as the Northern Trust, and then the Barclays before that. So it's on there. But TPC Southwind, it's interesting. A par 70, 7,244 yards. It's got 12 par fours, 2 par fives, and 4 par threes. So I don't really think the bigger hitters are going to be in there. For me, I mean, they'll could have a bit of an advantage, but for me, it's more accuracy, really, that I'm looking for. You know, 94 bunkers, 10 water hazards around the course, you know, undulating fairway, sloping greens. I think since 2003, Southwind, TPC Southwind, there's been more balls in the water here than any other PGA Tour course. So there you have it. It's sticking it on the fairway and keeping it there. So I'm after an accurate hitter. There has been a few bombers that have won it over the years. Obviously, you've got Dustin Johnson's won it a couple of times, Brooke Koepka. But Justin Thomas has won it. Abraham Anser was last year. Daniel Berger went back to back. You've had Fabian Gomez, Ben Crane. So it's a variety of people. But for me, accuracy is the one you want to look at.
And are we 125 Whitling down to 75 next week, Whitling down to 30 for the finale? Is that roughly the way it works?
Yeah, the top 125, which was interesting this year, the top 125, because it was actually, it branched out to the top 135, but then the 10 live players got knocked out of it. So Ricky Fowler actually was 135, and he's got right in on the cusp of it, the 125th person. So he's in the tournament. That could actually help Fowler, I think, in terms of he might stay with the PGA when there's rumours about the LIV Golf potentially that he would go over to. But yeah, it's the top 70, then go into the BMW Championship next week. That's at Wilmington Country Club. And then you have the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings, then go to the Tour Championship to play for, like you said, the mega bucks money that's on offer.
Okay, let's focus on this week. How many selections have you got, James?
I've gone big. I've gone for the famous five.
Famous five. Right then, kick us off with a winner. Who is your headline tip this week?
Headline tip is Billy Horschel. It's a 50-1. Won for the seventh time on the PGA Tour this year at the Memorial. Tied 21st at the Open and tied 27th at last week's Wyndham Championship on his last two starts. I'm looking for fairway finders this week, and Horschel is exactly that. 18th in driving accuracy this season. So that's the first box ticked. He also hits his green in regulations well. He's 23rd in that category. You know, he's finding the putting surface time and time again. And the fact is, I've got no worries about Horschel's putting, because he is one of the best putters that's on tour at the moment. He's had five top tens on this course as well. 10th, 6th, 8th from 2013 to 2015. He was 4th in 2017 and 9th in 2019. So he loves this track. He's in good form. So I think Horschel's a good bet.
Oh, very convincing case there. Well done, James. We're off and running. If it's not going to be Horschel, who could it be?
It could be Russell Henley. It's 66-1. World number 51, but he arrives in solid form at the moment. Tied 10th at the Rocket Mortgage. He was then tied 5th at the Wyndham last week. So he's clearly swinging it well. He's another one for me that fits the bill of a strong driver and also sharp irons. He's 19th in driving accuracy and he's 7th in green in regulations, where he's also 2nd in strokes gained approach the green as well. He's clearly making the most of being in good positions to attack the greens. Putting average is 24th also, so I think he's solid. And he was 7th here in 2016, his best result, so he has a bit of course form.
Okay. Are you going for Hollywood prices all the way here, or are we going to get to chuck any shorties in?
There's going to be a couple. Well, it depends what shorties is for people. But there is, for me, there's a couple shorties.
Okay, right. Coming in, let's have the third tip.
Third one is Shane Lowry at 35-1. Really consistent this season. Three top fives.
Consistently
a couple
disappointing.
Top tens.
I mean, well, he has been him every week, and he just keeps disappointing.
He seems to do it in fits, doesn't he? He does well on maybe one round, falls away, and then he gets to the last round and he probably has a good performance, but he's too far away. But I just think that he's got a chance in this one. He didn't produce his best performance at the Wyndham last week, but I can forgive that. That was his first start since the Open, so potentially there was a little bit of ring rust for him. But he's 21st in greener regulations. He's 10th in strokes gained approach as well. His accuracy, I mean, it's over 63%. So on the PGA Tour, I don't think that's too bad. He was 6th here in 2020 as well. That's his best result. So I actually think he's going in a little bit under the radar. You know, former Open champion, of course. So he knows that will get over the line.
Okay. Next up.
Next up, this is the shortest price that I'm offering up, is Matt Fitzpatrick at 20-1. Of course, US Open champion this year. He's gone tied 6th and tied 21st since that triumph. So he's featured sparingly. He last featured at the Open, and I think that mini break will have probably refreshed him and got him ready to go for this end of season FedEx Cup playoffs. He's usually a steady Eddie off the tee, isn't he? He hits it quite low, so he gets a lot of run on his drives, but he's also added that extra bit of power, which was shown at the US Open. 19th in strokes gained approach, 2nd in strokes gained around the green as well, so he's tidy in all of those aspects. He's a major player now. He's gone from someone who wasn't expected to get the win to someone who is now seen as a real threat when people look at him on the leaderboard. His form here reads 4th, 6th and 57th as well. So two top 10s is pretty impressive.
Yeah, very much so. Right then, we've got Horschel, we've got Henley, we've got Lowry, we've got Fitzpatrick, and finally
is actually the biggest price, is Jez Reavie at 125-1. Again, I'm keeping with a fairway finder here, and the American is certainly that. 4th in his driving accuracy.
He's sort of the new Fred Funk, really, isn't he? He's as boring and straight and steady and reliable as you can get, isn't he? But he does win. He knows how to win, doesn't he?
He does win, and he won recently. He got the Barracuda Championship. That was three starts ago. It's two starts since then. I think he's maybe still recovering from the celebrations of the Barracuda, because it had been a while since he'd actually won on the PGA Tour. He's had top 10s at the Genesis Invitational this season, which is a tough track, the Travelers Championship as well. His course form is quite eye-catching at TPC Thousands, fourth in 2017, sixth in 2018, and sixth in 2020. He was also 12th in 2015, so it's clearly a course that he likes. Like you said, he's a bit of a bunter to go around, but because I'm looking for people that are going to, you know, hit the fairway more often than not, I think he's got a good chance. For me, he's kind of like a Matt Kuchar, but not as successful as Matt Kuchar yet. It's the same type of player, I think those two are.
Matt Kuchar light, yeah. Okay, excellent. A very interesting set of selections there. James, anyone else you wanted to talk about at the top of the market? I mean, what's your view on Rory at 10s?
I mean, 10s, it's a bit too skinny for me, I have to say. To be fair, I like a price. It doesn't mean that I won't back a shorter price, but I think at 10-1, he's in great form. I don't think you can deny that with McIlroy this season. Anyone who says he's had a poor season is talking absolute rubbish.
Number three.
So he's getting close, but you know, he won the Canadian Open, but he's had several top fives, several top 10 finishes, came close to the Open, dreadfully unlucky, just the putter went cold for him. I think he's got a bit of a point to prove in terms of, with everything that's going on away from the PGA Tour at the moment, I think he wants to, you know, have the PGA Tour as the huge spectacle. He wants to put a show on, and I think he wants to get that big prize money at the end of it. So I think he's got a chance. Finau's another one who obviously has to be respected with his back-to-back wins. I just am unsure whether he can do three in a row. That would be incredible, but three in a row... I don't think Southwinds is a bad course for him in terms of you don't have to put fantastically, I don't think, at TPC Southwinds. It's more about just hitting the surface. So Finau's always got an opportunity. But again, I just think there's maybe more scope to look a little bit further away from them too.
Okay. Our other tournament this week on the DP World Tour takes place in Northern Ireland. It's the ISPS Handa World Invitation. And it's two tournaments in one because there's a ladies and a men's tournament taking place at what looks a lovely track, Massarine Golf Club in Northern Ireland on the banks of Lake Antrim. James will tell us all about the format in a minute. First of all, let's take you through the men's prices. And you'll see when I read these out, it is very much the same old faces. This is a bog standard European Tour event. Jordan Smith 10-1, John Catlin 18, Johannes Veerman 22. I mean, basically, the bookies can just cut and paste these now and just paste them everywhere. If one big name comes in, they can deal with them. But Jens Dantort, 25, Richard Mansell, Ewan Ferguson there and at 22, with Conor Syme. And then it's 25, David Law. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the most glamorous, exciting, star-studded lineup, James, but that doesn't mean there isn't value in there. First up, though, just tell us what's happening here this week with the men's and women's tournaments.
Yeah, so this is a tournament that's changed its structure over quite a few years. They just had a normal stroke play, then they changed it to the men and the women, then they went away from that, then they went back to it. So it's all sort of changed, so don't be worried if you're sort of not sure what the tournament is, but it's played at two different courses. So you've got Massarine, like you mentioned there, and then Galgorm Castle Golf Club is the other one. So they play those two alternatively on the first two rounds, and then they play Galgorm over the weekend. So it's three rounds at Galgorm, one at Massarine. You will have the final two rounds of action taking place at Galgorm. Like I said, the top 60 players and ties in each tournament after the second round will make the cut. They then have a further third round cut leading to the leading 35 players after the 54 holes. So it whittles it down. So you got a cut at the halfway stage and then another cut after the third round.
And are the males and females playing with each other in the same group, or is it separate groups, separate times? Does one go off in the morning, one in the afternoon? I'm still slightly confused, James.
Yeah, so they're playing, the ladies are playing by themselves in their own groups, the men in their own groups, but they're alternatively. So you'll have a male group, okay. Female, female, and they'll go along like that. It depends what draw you have in terms of whether you play Galgorm or Massarine over the for your first round or second round, but you will play Massarine either on day one or day two, and then it's Galgorm for Saturday and Sunday.
And what sort of tracks are they? They're not links, are they? I don't think.
No, they're sort of the parkland, sort of tree lined. I mean, Massarine's a par 70 for the men, so you've got two par fives, four par threes, and 12 par fours. It's only 6,603 yards. So in terms of
that's a tiddler in modern.
Yeah, that is tiddly, but it's narrow fairways, small greens. They've got to protect themselves. So there's more a priority on accuracy rather than distance for this one. Like I said, tree line, so it suits an accurate player. I don't think the Bombers will have that much sort of hope on it in terms of if they're a bit wild, then they're going to struggle. Mastering for the women, for the ladies, is par 72, 6,461 yards, 10 par fours, 4 par threes, and 4 par fives to go at. So that's one of the courses. Galgorm, that's a par 70 for the men, 7,151 yards. So you're getting more up in terms of the distance of it. 12 par fours, 2 par fives, and 4 par threes. Again, this is tree lined, but it's got water pretty much on every hole. I looked at a good sort of overview of all of the holes. And I'm just seeing water going down the side, water in front of greens, water behind greens. So I think distance control is going to be quite crucial for the Galgorm one. For the ladies, it's a par 73, 6,546 yards. You've got 9 par fours, 5 par fives to go at, and 4 par threes. So there's potential of some low scoring. Jack Senior won the men's event here in 2019. Stephanie Meadow landed the women's title. You had Tyler Koivisto, who claimed the spoils in 2020. That's when it changed to the Northern Ireland Open, when it was just the men. And then last year, when it went back to the men, ladies and the men and the females, it was Daniel Gavins took the crown. And then you had Pajari Anna Nakuran won in the women's. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah, no, very good. That's the biggest background we've ever had to any tournament. Right, so if you don't know the format and what's going on by now, you never will. Let's get some selections. We'll start with the men's tournament. Like I say, I've read out the prices. It's very much the same old faces. How many selections have we got?
I've gone for 4 selections for this one.
Okay, fair enough. And we'll kick off with your headliner then.
Headline is Richard Mansell at 22-1. I'm pretty sure he's a sweet spot regular from heard of Steve. But he's come so close to breaking his DP World Tour duck this season. Tied 3rd at the European Open. That came after a couple of top 10s as well. His form has slipped off a little bit, but he bounced back, I think, crucially last week with a tied 20th at the Kazoo Open. He's a really strong driver of the ball. His extra power could be a bonus, but like I said, it's more about hitting the fairways, but his accuracy is pretty good as well. 16th in strokes gained tee to green, you know, hits his regulations, his greening regulations a lot. I think if he can get the putter going, which has been a little bit cold for him over recent weeks, I think he's got a good chance of contending. He was 10th here in 2019 as well, so he has course form.
Okay, next up.
Next up is going in again on Connor Syme, as he was, who went for last week, got the second, 22-1 as well. Syme is, I think that's a good sort of value around him, really. He arrives here off the back of that second at Celtic Manor. He is a green and regulation machine. He's 7th in that category on the DP World Tour this season. Seems to be full of confidence at the moment. Putted really well last week, which is good to see because it's not always there, the flat stick, but he was rolling it really, really well. He was
Didn't he have
here.
One horror hole, James, at the weekend?
Yeah, it was his third round, I think, where he chipped in with a double bogey, then a bogey off the back of it.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it really stunted his progress. But I think, 10th here in 2019, I thought was pretty impressive for him. He just slipped away a little over the weekend back then. But I don't think he's too far away from a maiden DP Tour win either.
Okay, right then. So we've got Mansell and Syme, and we're going to supplement them with who?
We're going first with Todd Clements at 40-1. The Englishman, he arrives here full of confidence. He won on the Challenge Tour for the first time last time out. Of course, this is a bigger challenge for him, and he features sparingly at the moment on the DP World level. But he was actually tied 26th at the Kazoo Classic a couple of starts ago. That was before he went on to win on the Challenge Tour. So obviously, he's taken that form and momentum going. He was 3rd in this event in 2019 as well. Only missed out on the playoff by 2 strokes. So someone who you feel enjoys the venue, and I think he's a tidy player.
Okay, and finally?
Finally, not sure if this player has ever been offered up before, but 140-1 is a Gudmundur Kristjansson.
No, never.
It's the Icelandic star, of course. We all know that. But he finished tied 3rd in the Finnish Challenge last time out. Welcome return to form for him. Doesn't really play at DP Tour level that often, but he's performed well when he has. He was tied 18th at the Open to Portugal in 2020. He's only played here once. That was when it was the 2020 Northern Ireland Open, when it was just the men playing. But he ended up 5th. So he has a liking, I think, for the layout.
Wow, an Icelandic tip. That is a first. I wonder what it's like growing up being a golf fan in Iceland. They must have a couple of courses, mustn't they? But I think it's very much indoor stuff for the winter there. Excellent. Jolly good. Thank you very much indeed. Let's turn our attention to the women's tournament now then. And Georgia Hall is favourite here at 5-1. Then Leona Maguire, 13-2. Lynn Grant, who won the mixed tournament so easily, she's 15-2. And then there's a massive gap to the others, 22 bar those three. So we've got three fairly big names here from women's golf, haven't we? Do you expect those to dominate, or are you going to look for a bit of value, James?
I've looked for a bit of value. I'm not saying that those three won't be up there, I think, towards Sunday come the final round, because they are the headline trio, aren't they? I don't think it's wholly surprising not to see more of the bigger names coming into this event, just for the fact that is they had the Women's Open last week. So they tend to take a little bit of a break off, don't they, on the ladies and the men's tour. But yeah, I think Leona Maguire for me is you know, looking good at the moment. She's striking it well, but again, just a little bit too skinny for me in the market when you look at some of the other players that are in there. So I'm trying to pick out hopefully a little bit of value with a
couple. How many tips have you got?
Yeah, I got two picks. Go on then. Let's start off then with the 33-1 chance, and it's Alison Corpers. It's shown some decent form this season. She was 11th at the LPGA Classic. She's had three top 20s earlier in the year. A very good driver of the ball, 22nd in driving accuracy. And like I said, it's not the strongest field in terms of away from those top three. So I think there's scope to look a little bit further. And Corpers, for me, potentially, if she has a decent start, I think could be in the mix come Sunday.
Okay. And who's the other one?
Yeah, the other one, you're going to probably laugh at this and raise the eyebrows. It's 350-1.
Oh, brilliant.
Is Casey Danielson. Now, she is in a rookie LPGA season, and although she has missed the cuts on quite a few occasions, it's hampered her progress, she did produce a solid T24 at the Great Lakes Invitational last month. I think that would have been confidence-boosting for her. It's always difficult, I think, to make that step up on your debut season. She's spoken as well, I read a really good interview, actually, when she's spoken about how she hired a psychologist in 2020, so they were working on finding the right balance between enjoying the golf and her life off the course, you know, making sure that she's learning from her experiences, which I think she is. She's one of the best drivers of the ball in terms of accuracy. She's 11th in that. So she hits the fair share of fairways. She also hits the fair share of greens, 32nd in green and regulations, just over 71%. I think at big odds, she could go well. Like I said, it's not the strongest field. So I think there's scope to look at further down the betting.
Oh, 350-1 shot. Well done, James. Excellent.
I'd be off
stuff
on holiday.
You certainly would, yeah. Brilliant. Well, listen, well done, James. Great stuff. A fantastic sparkling debut. Obviously, you'll be marked really by how the tips get on, but you presented them beautifully. Let's reiterate them now. Who are your five selections for the FedEx St. Jude Championship?
Yes, gone for Billy Horschel as the headline tip, then Russell Henley, Shane Lowry, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Ches Reavy to top those off.
ISPS Hander men.
Got the four picks. So top of those is Richard Mansell, Connor Syme, Todd Clements and Gudmundur Kristjansson.
And you're two for the ladies tournament there.
Yeah, two picks then. Alison Corpers and Casey Danielson are the two selections there.
Marvellous. What happens between now and the weekend? Will you be getting the clubs out? What do you play off, James? Are you useful?
6.4 is the specific 6.4. Handicap.
I mean, anyone whose handicap is a decimal point in is useful. 6.4. Wow. Which track do you play at? Somewhere swanky up there.
So I used to be a member. I've not been a member for the past year now. Obviously, I had a young daughter, so she's 11 months old. So the golf went out of the window for a membership. But Leeds Golf Club, it's home of the Leeds Cup, which apparently is the oldest trophy in golf.
Wow.
This is what I'm told.
Excellent. Good. Well, we won't invite you, and me and Steve won't invite you down, because you'll beat us and take our money off us. But well done, James. Excellent stuff. A really, really good debut. Thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, in the Racing Post on Wednesday, there is more golf coverage, all the stats, all the prices, and more tips. And also, don't forget to leave us your thoughts on the comment section below. If you've enjoyed the show, hit that thumbs up. We're back next week for another Sweet Spot, when we'll be looking at the BMW Championship and the Czech Masters. From James and me, bet responsibly, have fun, have a great week, and join us for another Sweet Spot next Tuesday.